Thank you for joining us for this Prima podcast. My name is Taekwon Gilbert. I'm the education coordinator at Prima and the moderator for today's podcast. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. National Cybersecurity Awareness Month was designed to increase awareness regarding the significance of cybersecurity, as well as provide the necessary resources to ensure people are safe and secure online. To commemorate the 20th anniversary of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, Prima has created a National Cybersecurity Awareness Month podcast series. Each week during the month of October, Prima will feature podcasts that share important information about cybersecurity. On this podcast, Ryan Hurd, Managing Director, Chief of Office, Seattle for Aon Cyber Solutions, delves into the importance of password complexity within public entities in an effort to minimize cyber threats. Please enjoy the podcast. Thank you for joining us today, Brian.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Okay, so today we'll be addressing questions from the community with regards to password complexity and things of that nature. Brian, if you want to go ahead and take it away, the floor is yours.
Thank you. And to the members of Prima taking time out of their very busy days to attend the podcast today, really appreciate it. I know you're working in the mission to support God, Mom, and Apple Pie, as we used to say when I was a government official. As a quick intro, I've been in the community about 30 years, helped NCIS found the Navy Cyber Counterintelligence Program back in the mid-90s, and then have worked as the chief of cybercrime with Microsoft and others. And in fact, I'm just coming off today of briefing a White House subcommittee on cybersecurity at the national level. So glad to be supporting them as well as Prima and the continuing mission. We're here to talk today about, as the team wanted us to, password complexity. So one of the first things that I'll say about the evolution of passwords, we've all kind of been there where at first we all used very basic passwords, either the word password or our name and the year we were born or other things. I remember those from back in the day. Then you had to put an apostrophe after it to make sure somebody couldn't guess it, and then a bunch of other things. And then we've gone to passphrases or longer and longer passwords. This evolution is ultimately going to lead to the end of passwords. So if you are looking out 2 to 3 years or even shorter timeframes, admitting that passwords will probably not be the future and working to get other things in place is going to be a core part of our discussions today. And some of the areas that I'll talk about is, in the meantime, things you may be able to do with systems like privileged accounts and others that's harder to do. And one of the questions from the community was, what are some of the best rules for password complexity for those that are still in that realm? And a lot of information has been published by Microsoft. I was honored to have worked there for a while, and others, and including some of the discussions we're seeing in the insurance industry. So I'll start off with, if you're still using passwords, definitely looking at the length of the passwords is good. However, the longer the password gets, the more likely and the more random you make users make a password, it is highly likely that they will either write it down, which is a problem but not a big problem, or they will cut and paste it into a text file or a spreadsheet and save it on their computer, which is a huge problem. We've seen again and again. It's more in the older days and less and less now as people migrate away from passwords or start scanning. So things like it can't be the local sports team. It has to have a mix of alphanumeric characters and special characters in it. Things like that. It can't be one character off their last password. So at a certain point, if you're still in the realm of passwords, be turning on every function possible to make the passwords complex, but you'll be driving, of course, a concern in the users that they're going to forget it. And if users do forget a password, you want to make sure that the password reset is not something that an adversary can jump in the middle of. And that's a big issue of a forced reset on passwords. So in terms of those still using passwords, also expiration. Make sure that you rotate passwords on a regular basis. However, when you do, then a user will most often try and accrue a password like football 2023. Football 2024, football 2025. They will do those things if you make them rotate passwords, not because they're trying to hurt anybody. It's they're trying to remember their passwords in many, many systems. So then that drives some companies to come to password vaults. Password vaults are a potential help, but it's almost a collection then that the adversaries go after. We've seen a couple attacks on the companies that offer those services, where now they can compromise one account and get the access credentials to 2, 3, 4, 5 accounts or more in a password vault. The other thing about these, and again, it's unfortunate when talking just about passwords, but multi-factor authentication on these things is absolutely not only becoming a best practice, it's becoming an insurance requirement. So I wanted to delve in based on other questions from the community about the insurance industry and their role in some of the behaviors that you're seeing. Sometimes many of the first bits of feedback, even state and local governments will get, is when applying for cyber insurance or related insurances and getting underwriters' questions about your use of passwords. And one of the core things that we've been talking about already on the podcast today is that complexity of passwords. The very next thing they're going to ask is multi-factor authentication. Because in the breaches and things we have worked, I've worked at hundreds of them over my career and a bunch over the past couple of years within the insurance industry, we're seeing that passwords, once compromised, and without the backstopping or compensating controls of multi-factor authentication or extreme whitelisting of external IPs, an adversary located anywhere on the planet is able to abuse a compromised password. So even if you have a highly complex password, but enter it into a phishing site, the complexity is moot because the adversary has a copy of the password. They don't care how complex it was. They're just able to replay it. The converse of that is a dictionary attack, which many of you have heard about probably in your careers if you're security officials and listening to this call, that if they steal a copy of a password file or just brute force guess passwords, then password complexity helps with that. But with faster compute, known passphrases and passwords, and the resurgence or the evolution in AI or better computing, complex passwords will soon fall to a grind of an engine that is testing every known combination. And if you think taking the first letters of it was the best of times and it was the worst of times and using those as a mnemonic where you take a sentence and take each of its first letters, those are all well known too. So you're then forced into the unfortunate thing I said at the top of this is passwords are going the way of the dodo. And don't be the last person to have them because you'll probably be the person most often breached if you do. The overall discussion of passwords has to be in the kind of context you laid out about all of the controls around the security of the computer system, similar to the security of your homes. It's almost considering like passwords are a passphrase when somebody knocks on your door and tells you the secret passphrase, and then you let them in. Regardless of their identity, regardless of where they just came from, regardless of what they look like, because they have the passphrase. Passwords are kind of heading that way. You wouldn't use this security at your home to let strangers into your house. You shouldn't use it at your organization to let outsiders come in without other things validating their identity. In this discussion and many that you've fostered on these podcasts, the key phrase at the heart of enterprise risk management in relation to anything, whether it's property or cyber, is compensating controls. To lay out kind of what is known as a kill chain or the diagram of an organization, you have those things at the very outside of your organization to vet the identities of people trying to get in. Often, passwords or the tokens on the laptops they're logging in from or other things to validate their identity more than just having the secret passphrase. This is why in the world of risk management, we're seeing that passwords are sunsetting unless associated directly with multi-factor authentication, extreme whitelisting of IPs, tokens on the endpoints, or other compensating controls, biometrics, and other things on your iPhones, or your laptops with Windows Hello, that further validate the identity of the individual, even if they happen to have that password. These are critical adds as you look at cybersecurity, like you look at home security, not as the purchase of one smoke detector, one fire alarm, hiring Brinks to monitor your home alarm systems. It's an overall tapestry of controls together that protect your home from fire, flood, or intruders in this case. It's the same with the security at each of your organizations in the public sector or even in the private sector. Passwords, if somebody has copied your front door key, then you would have motion sensors inside and an alarm you turn on when you're not home. These other compensating controls mitigate the compromise of an access device, the compromise of a password, the compromise of a home key. When I was growing up, I can only imagine the number of home keys to my parents' house I lost or lended to somebody for a reason over time. So that's kind of reminding me of a horrifying childhood story. But it ended well. Nobody broke in, but you know, not the case for passwords. We are seeing in the breaches we work, even at some of the largest companies, that if passwords aren't also supported, not only in complexity and other things, but by these other compensating controls, then an adversary who gets lucky once can walk into the house and walk room to room. So then this goes to, what does the password allow you to access? This is a question raised by members of your community, and I wanted to talk about passwords in the context of how far and wide a password gets you, similar to how far and wide a keys to the buildings you all oversee in the government can get you. Is it just a key to the front door, but not into any of the locked storage containers inside the building? Is it a password that is a skeleton key that lets me go any and everywhere into your shared drives and your email and other things? Are there other checks and balances when I want to get into one of those other rooms, when I want to get into another part of the network? So what does the password get you? Is it just a user password? Do the admins have separate and distinct passwords? They should. They should not use their system administrative passwords on the same systems they're using their regular passwords on. You could have what are known as jump boxes, the only place where that password can work to log into an administrative capability. Again, recommending multi-factor authentication or password vaults to augment that. So when we talk about overall how passwords play into a security architecture, having them not be easily guessable is one part. Having them limited in their scope and scale is another part. And having them backstopped by other controls, starting with multi-factor authentication, secondary credentials, and then also network segmentation. Passwords can't get you too far into a building. The fire can't spark or spread very far. These are the start of the discussion. And then I'll talk in a little bit about how we'll get into the technologies that are probably coming soon to requirements near you. So one of the other questions from the community is about if passwords and even password vaults are starting to fall out of favor because of their fragility, what is the next version of passwords, or what are some of the next things we're seeing? So in the short term, password vaults have been used quite a bit. There are a lot of online services for this, as well as relatively inexpensive multi-factor authentication, one login and many others of the type. But we're also seeing what are known as password vaults and privileged access management, or PAM tools. These tools like CyberArk, Delinea, Thycotic Secret Server, BeyondTrust, and many other great technologies have come on the market where a privileged access management is almost locking up your keys and they're only checked out when needed. Again, when we've seen them implemented, and some of these are very expensive as a problem, but there are coming onto the market more cost-effective solutions. Even if you have a privileged access management where you only check out passwords at a certain point in time and use them either one-time only passwords or other things, we've seen adversaries hit those, and if they aren't further protected by MFA, all it did was slow them down a little bit, but it didn't stop the spread of the fire. Therefore, at the end of the day, it made people feel secure, but really didn't stop the calamity from happening. It didn't stop the bad guys from spreading and hurting the organization, even some of the largest organizations. So again, even on our best day, the privileged access management, the passwords, the restriction of their use and how far they can go, you need to have those compensating controls. And whatever those compensating controls are, they can be the roles in your Active Directory that only allow that user identity at that time with that password or that credential to do very limited things. Now, this does put a burden on IT people. you need to understand the business. The business doesn't need to understand us. We need to understand them. And that is kind of the evolution of leveling from technology issues around mere passwords or password vaults into what does the business need you to secure and how best to secure it. And I want to close by saying thank you to the members of the team that put together the podcast today and for allowing me to come and support the mission. As a previous public servant and still a member of our community, very glad to be able to talk about some of these topics with the security officers and the executives at the financial side and leadership side about how we secure the public fabric that allows us to live the life we do every day in this country. A lot of these issues are being rolled up into discussions of county and statewide cybersecurity being led by your chief risk officers and the other executives, CFOs, CEOs, chief operating officers involved in this. Those types of discussions often then dovetail with things like enterprise risk management and even insurance qualification for risk transfer. Myself and the other members of the Aon team are honored to support those discussions at various levels and support the mission of this organization. Please let me know if myself or my team can be of service. Thanks again for what you do. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to Prima's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month podcast series. Should you have any questions regarding the podcast or any podcast in this series, please email education@primacentral.org. To learn more about Prima's educational resources, please visit primacentral.org. Thanks again.